What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting, and positive news from a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding the communities everywhere.
That's what we do here at the Positive Truth. I'm JP, that's Tim. It's Monday, and we're bringing you uplifting and positive news. We do that on Monday and Wednesdays. On Fridays, we talk about an issue, what the issue is, why it's an issue, facts about it, and how you can change it for the better. Tim, do you want to talk about the t-shirts, or do you want me to?
I can definitely bring them up really quick. So we have gray shirts, we have black shirts. Has a Positive Truth logo on the front and a cooler logo on the back with a nice little microphone. If you guys want these shirts, they're $20. You can contact us on Facebook, Twitter, at our email address, which is thepositivetruth@gmail.com. But if you don't have $20 and you still want a shirt, go ahead and go to all of your social media platforms, add The Positive Truth. On Facebook, it's at The Positive Truth Podcast, and on Twitter, it's at TPT_podcast. Everywhere else is pretty much The Positive Truth. If you add all your friends and you get 10 of them to accept that friend request, we will send you a t-shirt for free as long as you send us proof that your 10 of your friends liked our page and they now follow us. It's as simple as that. I know everybody likes free t-shirts. I know JP does. I know I do. And it's as simple as that. If you want to spread some positivity and do something good with your life for a change, go ahead and add your friends to the Positive Truth Podcast and get you a free t-shirt.
On top of that, I feel like we've had a couple of free t-shirts, like locally, because we're based out of Oklahoma City. We haven't had many not locally. So I'll add a stipulation. If you go to iTunes and leave a 5-star review with a comment, we'll send you a t-shirt for free. Then just email us size shirt and we'll ship it to you. That's all it takes. Go to iTunes, 5-star review under The Positive Truth. That's even easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say before we get to the positive news, we don't like focusing on negative news, but we don't really have much time because, you know, I'm starting school. That's 5 days a week plus working 5 days a week. Tim, you know, has 2 jobs. We don't have a lot of free time. We're not really sponsored. We're sponsored by Batman.
True story.
Dark Knight Rises money, not Batman Batman Begins money. So we're doing this for free on our free time, no sponsorships. So we recorded last Mondays before the whole Charlottesville incident. We recorded Wednesday's episode before, you know, Trump did the whole stuff on both sides. So if something bad happens by the time this comes out on Monday, we just want to say the reason we're doing this podcast is there are more people that want positivity, community, love in the world than there are negative people that want division, they want hate, they want power in a few, in basically the hands of a few. So if you're ever feeling down, that's what this podcast is about. It's about anti-hate, it's about love, it's about positivity. And saying that, I'll get right into my first positive news story. It's from
what
Apple.
What you got?
It's them donating $2 million to anti-hate groups. Short and simple. Kick it off right.
Well, man, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he did the exact same thing, except for he didn't donate, you know, the millions. He donated $100,000 to anti-hate groups, and he asked Americans to unite. That's my first story as well, man. Let's keep it rolling.
Okay, okay. Well, have you ever heard of Bill Gates?
Oh, indubitably.
You want to guess how much money this dude gave away?
Man, he's got more money than everybody we just talked about together. How much did he give away?
He gave away 5% of his total fortune to charity, or $4.6 billion.
That was only 5%. I'm sorry, that's an amazing news story, but that was only 5%. I'm pretty sure everybody listening right now is like, that's only 5%, $4.6 billion.
Well, he's currently estimated to be worth $89.9 billion. Yeah. So, like the majority of his other previous donations, they've been made to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is primarily focused on reducing world poverty, combating infectious diseases, and providing universal access to computers, because, you know, Bill Gates. I will say that this is not his biggest donation. He donated $16 billion worth of Microsoft shares to charity in 1999 and $5.1 billion in 2000.
So this ain't nothing new to him.
This dude's donated like $20 billion in his lifetime.
He's donated more money than the state of Oklahoma has.
Might be a problem with the economic system if people can have more money than, you know. Anyway. Back to the positive news stories. What you got, Tim?
All right, man. I have a 94-year-old man, actually. So his name is Keith Davison, and he's actually been really depressed after his wife passed. So he decided to bring some laughter and smiles into his life by building an in-ground pool in his backyard and inviting his whole entire neighborhood to come over all summer long, you know, just swim and have a pool party. So Davison, who's 94, he lost his wife of 66 years to cancer in 2016. And he said, you know, you just can't imagine what it's like. You cry a lot, and this is why I had to do something about it, basically. And so, you know, he built this pool. He invited his neighborhood, friends, and anybody that just wanted to come over. And there's a couple families that come over as regulars all the time, and they swim. And he just goes in the backyard, hangs out, talks to the parents, plays with the kids, just being a nice man that he is. And after the kids leave, you know, and stuff, he goes for a swim himself. You know, he just likes to relax out there. But he basically just wanted to bring some kind of positivity back to his neighborhood, because he knows that it was a negative situation that he was going through. And he basically decided, you know, I can do two things. I could sit here and be depressed, or I can turn it into a positive situation. And that's kind of how we all should be looking at life. There's a lot of negative things that come at us, and a lot of negative things that do happen. And again, like he said, you have two choices. You can sit there and just, you know, cry about it, or you can try to turn it into a positive situation. And he's definitely a good inspiration to do so.
I have so many questions. Where was this at?
I wish I knew where it was. I probably will find it in a second.
Okay.
And I actually have no idea what state or anything.
He's 94 and he's building an in-ground pool in his backyard. Who is this guy?
I'm pretty sure he hired somebody. I'm pretty positive.
I was about to be like, yo, there is nothing like easy about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he hired somebody. He basically was like, you know what? I have this extra money. I can build a pool, or I can probably travel or something. Who knows? But I'm glad that he did something like this. Just reading the story kind of made me smile.
See, we always talk about, you know, bringing communities together. Or you always talk about that, I should say. Like, community can do so much positive things. Like, you have a support group. It takes a group to raise a child. Well, it takes a healthy community to make a better society. And just making a pool and just interacting with people, talking, listening to people instead of, you know, on your phones all the time and in front of a computer screen, outside enjoying the sunlight. That's an amazingly positive thing. Also, pools are not cheap and take forever to clean.
Man, true story.
Tim, if someone in your neighborhood would have made a pool and invited you over during the summers, how often would you have went?
Man, I would have went pretty often. I wouldn't have swam very much, but I definitely would have been out there hanging out. It was a lot better to do that than, you know, the other stuff we were doing, which was trying to find a gym to play basketball in because it was 500 degrees outside.
I don't really think that's a bad thing either, but still, I feel like I would have been swimming like every single day.
Yeah, man, I'm just not too big on swimming. I got cold really fast, and I would get out and just watch everybody else hang out. I really enjoyed, you know, the vibe of going to a swimming pool area. Everybody seems just happy, so I definitely would have been hanging out for sure.
Have you ever seen those memes online where it's like, goes to a pool party, everyone's on the outside, there's one person in the pool?
Yeah, yeah. Every pool party I've been to.
Well, to each their own. Well, on to the next positive news story. We have a lot of positive drone stories. And
JP has a lot of positive drone stories. This sounds like innovation with JP time right now.
Science is awesome with the positive truth.
Yes, yes.
So basically, according to the Rainforest Action Network, billions of trees are fell each year. And planting a tree requires more time and effort than cutting one down. And that makes keeping up with deforestation kind of hard. But Biocarbon Engineering Group has assembled a fleet of drones that can plant thousands of trees a day. So basically what they do is they take these drones and they analyze like the forest around them, the soil, and then they put seeds in these drones and they send them out and they basically shoot seeds into the ground. And they can do 100,000 seeds in the ground each day.
Yo, that is crazy.
I know, right?
Yo, I'm glad they're using these drones for like something positive like that. I mean, first off, that's amazing. Like 100% amazing. But like the nerd in me right now is like, what is going on right now? Like we're living in the future. It's no longer 2017. It's like 2052. I'm beyond impressed with hearing that story.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's a lot better. I can think of a lot worse uses for drones. Although I will say, like, can you imagine hiking? And all of a sudden you see a drone fleet coming at you?
And it starts shooting seeds at you and stuff?
Like, are we getting bombed? What's going on right now? Then just seeds start falling? I think my natural instinct would be to run. I don't know.
Maybe yeah, I mean, duck, run, and hide. That's definitely my natural instincts. I think that's more of a Southside problem than anything. We hear a loud noise. We duck. We know better. I'm in my adult world all the time, you know, working random places, and I hear a loud noise, and I always duck. It doesn't matter where I'm at, and people always stare at me, and the only thing I can say is Southside problems. I apologize.
Yo, there's a subreddit called Life Pro Tips. It's just like tips, whatever, to help you through life. One of them is, if someone says duck, don't question it, just duck.
I like that.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense though, right?
It absolutely does.
I mean, unless you get, you know, you're like fifth grade and kids are just playing jokes on you. But if you hear the word duck, just duck. Probably for the best. Like, that's just not something you hear randomly every single day. Don't turn and look. Just duck. Oh, another great example of this. At my job, you know, serving steaks. They serve the steaks on really hot plates. And so we have, like, towels to drop them. So, like, we tell people, like, hey, this plate is extremely hot. And people like, oh, it's hot, and they touch it.
Like, every time.
I would say, like, 25% of the time. And, like, you're looking at it like, oh, it's hot. And then they look at you like, oh, the plate is hot. Like, dog. Like, come on. I just told you that. Like, I can't cut you with my fingers. Like,
yeah. I have to admit that I've done that before. My servers definitely said, hey, that plate's hot. And, you know, me being me, I got to test it. So, ouch.
Like, it's no joke. That oven is like 400 degrees. They're keeping that in.
Oof. Yeah, I got to quit touching plates then for sure. I'm going to take your word for it from now on. Every time I go to Mahogany's and I order a steak, don't touch the plates anymore, Tim. JP lets you know they're hot.
Tim, I'm like, when are you ever going to go back, though? Like, when can you afford that?
I go, like, once a year. Got a friend that loves that place, so we go for his birthday every year.
That's what's up.
Yeah. I've been probably, like, 4 or 5 times in my life.
Okay. Tim being Mr. Bourgeoisie on the podcast today.
I like my restaurants, man. Well, man, I got another story over here. I got one from actually from Minnesota, the University of Minnesota. So a football coach actually had a meeting with this team, and he brought in this kid by the name of Kyle. And Kyle is a patient at the University of Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital. And the coach asked Kyle to come speak to the team. And Kyle walked in and, you know, they're speaking to the team, and Kyle actually mentioned that he had seen one of the football players at the hospital before, which his last name is June Man. I'm just going to say June Man. I'm probably saying it wrong, but I apologize. So June Man is basically a backup kicker for the University of Minnesota. And for those that don't know, if you play football, not everybody's on a scholarship, especially at the D1 level. You have only so many scholarships to give out. So a lot of people are walk-ons or they're maybe on an academic scholarship or something like that. So as a backup kicker, you're probably not going to get a scholarship. They're saving that money for higher positions like a quarterback, receiver, lineman, etc. So basically, Kyle mentioned that he's seen Juneman around the hospital, which Juneman actually volunteers his time at the hospital for kids that are in need. You know, just whatever he can do up there, he tries to do it. all the time. So basically the coach is having this meeting. He asked Kyle, which is the kid, to use a shirt cannon and to shoot the shirt at Kyle, or at Juneman. So Kyle does it, boom, shoots the shirt, which is going really fast, by the way. Juneman catches the shirt, and the coach asks him to read the shirt. He reads the shirt, and it says, congratulations, Justin, which is Juneman's first name. Should have been using Justin this whole time, but congratulations, Justin, you just earned yourself a scholarship. And then the whole team goes crazy, jumps up and down, you know, it's real excited. I have a cool little video that actually the Today Show did. I'll upload it to the Facebook page at the Positive Truth Podcast if you guys want to check it out. It's really, really awesome. And there's actually a short part, maybe like 3 seconds, where Justin FaceTimes his mom with the shirt says, and his mom just goes nuts. Like, you thought the football team went crazy. His mom was even more excited than anything. So if you guys want to check out this video of this backup kicker receiving a scholarship because of something he was doing off the field, not just on the field, go to our Positive Truth Facebook page and check it out.
Where was this at? What school is this?
University of Minnesota. Yeah, he's still a backup kicker. He's never even played in a college football game. That's the cool part about it. The fact that the football coach decided to give him an athletic scholarship because of what he was doing off the field shows, like, it's not just about how you are on the field. It's about your character off the field as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an awesome positive news story, Tim. Nothing to add.
Sweet, sweet. Let's keep it pushing then.
Okay. Well, 3 years ago, university researchers at Johns Hopkins, basically they were in Baltimore and they asked a, you know, pretty straightforward question. Could the persistent gap in reading performance between poor students and wealthier ones just be closed if they just gave the students eyeglasses? And so for the last 3 years, well, beginning in May 2016, they basically, it was like Johns Hopkins University, eyeglass retailer Warby Parker, and a nonprofit called Vision to Learn. They basically visited 150 schools over the course of study and screened 60,000 students, and then gave away eyeglasses for free. And they pretty much, they gave out 2,000 pairs of eyeglasses. That's how many poor kids had bad vision and didn't have glasses. And you want to know what happened, Tim?
What's that?
Can you guess?
Everybody's grades went up.
Bam, there you go.
Well, they can see now, so for sure. Man, that just shows, like, they did that small study there for how many schools? Did you say 30?
150.
150? Wow, I don't know why I got 30. 150 different schools that they did that to. Just imagine everywhere else throughout the United States. There's so many kids that can't see. That's so awesome that they did that. I hope other people hear about this story or read about this story and they do the exact same thing. Because, I mean, there's so many kids that I have to deal with, like at U.S. Grant, that come out for cross country. I'll write something on a board if I'm, you know, talking about something and they're like, I can't see that, coach. You are 5 feet away from me. How can you not see that? But a lot of them can't afford to go to the eye doctor, so I can definitely relate to that story a little bit. That's awesome.
You have 20/20 vision, don't you, Tim?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, no issues whatsoever.
You have no clue about the struggle of not being able to see.
At all.
That's a good thing, though, Tim. That's a good thing. It's, yeah. I got my first pair of glasses in third grade. I thought I was the coolest kid in the world. Looking back at those glasses, like, they did not fit my face at all. Like, I had grandpa glasses. And then I went the exact opposite in middle school, and I had, like, glasses that were, like, too small for my head, with hair that was too big for my head. Gotta love growing up. The awkward years.
Good old preteen years.
Well, did you have a positive news story, Tim Tim?
Oh, yes, sir, man. I have one from Florida, actually, which I thought was an amazing news story because I know me thinking about me being in fourth and fifth grade, Florida in one county has banned all homework. Instead, parents are being asked to read to their children for at least 20 minutes a day. It's in, I want to say, Marion County School District. The superintendent basically is like, look, there's no more homework. Kids today just do not learn the same way they used to learn, so we have to change things up. There's no point in making them do work all day and then making them go home and do work again. They're going to be fatigued. They're going to come back the next day. it's going to take them hours to wake up. By the time they wake up and pay attention, the day's almost over again. So we have to do something about that. And I think it's awesome. I don't necessarily know if this is going to work, but I do think that kids do not learn the same way they used to, even back whenever we were in high school 10 plus years ago. I think it's just completely different now. These kids need a different way to learn, and not giving them homework, it's a test trial to see, you know, how much energy they have and how excited they will be whenever they go to school versus making them depressed when they get home. Because, you know, whenever you get home, you don't want to do homework. You want to go outside and play for the little bit of time you have left before the sun goes down. And I think that's exactly what it should be. So shout out to Marion County School District in Florida. You guys are doing great things.
We'll see if that works.
Hey, we shall. But I definitely know, you know, kids definitely aren't learning the same. So this is a start of something. We definitely got to test the waters eventually.
Fair. That's fair. My last positive news story is from seniorcare.com. So basically, they're talking about thousands of baby boomers. They're aging alone and looking for families to adopt them. And that's exactly what's happening. Like, you basically... So the stats are about 20% of U.S. women reach their 50s without having children, up from 10% in the 1970s. And one-third of middle-aged adults are single as they approach their retirement years, never marrying, divorcing, or widowhood. They're basically talking about me at this moment. And what happens is they get adopted, in quotation marks, since you know this is an audio podcast and you can't see me moving my fingers. And what happens is, like, volunteers, like, they always come to the same seniors. They keep up with them. They talk to them. Because they have, like, if you're, like, 85 years old and you didn't have any kids, you have, like, you probably outlive most of your family members. Especially, like, everyone that was, like, your parent is probably, like, if you're 85, your parent's probably not alive anymore. So you're probably by yourself, living by yourself. And it's called the Elder Orphans Group. Basically, you just have parents, spouses, children, anyone constantly coming and just interacting with these elderly people and becoming family with them. All it takes is, like, you just talk to them once every few days. Spend some time with them once a week. Building community, Tim. That's what we do here. We build community. It's a positive truth.
Exactly, man. I actually enjoyed that.
Absolutely. So, if you ever want to go volunteer... And you can't find anything to volunteer with that you like, go to the elderly home. Just listen to stories. That's all it takes. Just go listen to people. Go hang out. Go play a little board game. Also, board games are fun. And I feel like no one has time to play board games anymore.
No, man, you're absolutely right. I just had this conversation with a couple friends because we were talking about how back when we were kids, all we used to play is, you know, Uno, Monopoly, etc. And now, like, I told somebody I wanted to play chess because I wanted to get into it a little bit, and nobody has time for it these days.
I know someone that does that you probably don't want to play.
Batman?
Yep.
Yeah, man, I think I played him once or twice, and yeah, he's improved a lot since the first time I've ever played him.
I remember he, like, texted me once when I first graduated college the first time. You know, now I'm going back. Right. He was like, hey, let's go play. And so, like, I had never really played chess except, like, on the computer, and I hadn't played in years. And so I had one strategy, and it was basically, like, never move until you figure out why they moved. So we had this chess battle for, like, 2.5-3 hours. And for the first 2 hours, I'm, like, keeping up. And then it was just, like, I screwed up. Like, I went too fast because I thought I had him, and it was, like, over with. I destroyed.
You know, I don't think I've ever played a chess match that lasted more than, like, 45 minutes. And I felt like that was a long time.
Oh, no, we were going at it for, like, a solid 2 hours.
See, I don't want to play you now. Like, appreciate that warning, though.
I have never won against a person. Although, I will say the only person I've ever played against is Batman.
Well, that's a good sparring partner for sure.
Yeah, if you're a narcissist, if you're a masochist and you like getting, if you like losing. Anyway, that's our 9 positive news stories and our ramblings in between. for Monday. Hopefully we enjoyed it. If you want a free t-shirt, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and leave a comment. Remember to leave a comment. And then email us and we will send you a t-shirt. Tim, do you have a positive quote?
Man, I did earlier and I exited out of my tab, but I'll find it really fast. So before you guys do that, if you guys can follow us on all of our positive truth social media platforms, which is at The Positive Truth Podcast on Facebook, TPT_ on Twitter. You can also find us on Instagram at The Positive Truth on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, and also SoundCloud.
Ooh, I got a quote, Tim.
Nice. Go ahead and get that down.
Yeah, I feel like it works with what's going on. The reason I don't worry about society is 19 people knocked down 2 buildings and killed thousands, but hundreds of people ran into those buildings to save them. I'll take those odds every single day. John Stewart.
I like that.
On that, we're out. Stay positive.
Stay positive. You're good, man.
Say we out. My bad. We're out.
Still messing up on the positive truth. We got this. You guys have a good day.